The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin in the hizzy as well. Kelly, good morning to you, sir. Anything I should know about that happened this morning?
Good morning. Yeah, I don't think anything big happened since we were last on the air. No coaches, no quarterbacks, nothing big.
We will have on the show, by the way, of course, Kelly, talking about Tom Brady's retirement 1 hour and 48 minutes ago. How about that for a dateline?
Wow.
1 hour and 48 minutes ago. It was
8:12. A year to the day from the last time he retired.
That's correct. 8:12 Eastern, 5:12 Pacific. We'll get to that momentarily. Obviously, Will Hill will join us on the show to talk Super Bowl with us and everything else he's betting today around the sports landscape. Jason Weingarten joins us to talk not only football, but his baseball bets, all of his baseball bets coming that he's made already for the upcoming baseball season. Yeah, never too early with Jason from under a cloud of smoke. And former offensive lineman in the National Football League, Jeff Schwartz, joins us. His biggest pet peeve about people's reactions to the officiating this past week in the NFL and what his thoughts on Super Bowl 57 are. Good. Is there time for me to do Rihanna today as well, Kelly? Can I do
that? Yeah. We're doing that hour two.
Rihanna props. After Kelly and I moved markets offshore for both the America the Beautiful and, of course, Gatorade yesterday. We'll get into that a little later. So looking forward to the Rihanna segment. But it begins, of course, with the retirement of Tom Brady, who, again, a little less than 2 hours ago announced his retirement on social media. Here's how that went.
Good morning, guys. I'll get to the point right away. I'm retiring. For good. I know the process was a pretty big deal last time, so when I woke up this morning, I figured I'd just press record and let you guys know first. So I won't be long-winded. Like, you only get one super emotional retirement essay, and I used mine up last year. So I really thank you guys so much to every single one of you for supporting me, my family, my friends, my teammates, my competitors. I could go on forever. There's too many. Thank you guys for allowing me to live my absolute dream. I wouldn't change a thing. Love you all.
Tom Brady, super emotional there, announcing his retirement after 23 years in the National Football League at the age of 45, the undisputed greatest of all time quarterback. There should be no argument with that. My first question before I go into just my perspective on Brady here, Kelly, do I get to cash those Tom Brady will retire props that I made last year again? Am I allowed to cash those again? Does that work out that way?
Yeah, I'm gonna say probably not.
No.
On those.
Just checking.
I mean, hey, for all those next team bets too, it's I don't know how they're gonna handle. I would assume that
refund them.
Well, yeah, but I would think they're probably gonna wait till the season starts.
There could be that.
Just understand you might have to deal with that.
So let's start with, obviously, the headline on all of this is going to be this, all the stats, all the records. So we should probably, because we're a numbers game, we should probably go through, obviously, some of those, just out of being thorough. 14 conference championships in 23 years of football, which is maybe just the most insane number of all of them. 10 of them winning championship games and getting to the Super Bowl. 7 of those 10 Super Bowls, he was Super Bowl champion. So that's just amazing. 7 titles, 10 Super Bowls, 14 championships, 5-time Super Bowl MVP, 3-time MVP, and then you see a litany of stats there below. I'll only highlight a few of those. 755 winning percentage, the highest among NFL quarterbacks who have started 100 games. The only NFL quarterback to win 200 regular season games and 35 postseason victories. Those 35 postseason victories, more than twice those of any other quarterback. Holding both the regular season record with 89,214 passing yards and the playoff record with 13,400 yards passing for a combined total of 102,614 yards. By the way, for perspective, the 89,214 in the regular season is almost 9,000 yards clear of Drew Brees in second place. And in terms of active players, for some serious perspective, more than 26,000 passing yards clear of Matt Ryan, more than 30,000 clear of Aaron Rodgers, and more than 37,000 clear of Matthew Stafford.
30,000 clear of Aaron Rodgers?
Yes.
Jeez.
And by the way, one of his Super Bowls as an NFC quarterback, as many as Aaron Rodgers has won in his entire NFL career. I mean, you can parse this out so many different ways. But I want to get back to, and I don't know how many people are doing this today. I'm sure some will get to this. But for me, beyond the numbers, the impact in so many ways. First of all, for those of a certain age who only caught a portion of Tom Brady's career, Tom Brady was drafted out of Michigan in the sixth round. He was the 199th selection in the 2000 draft out of 254 players drafted. There were six quarterbacks drafted before him in the year 2000. Would you like to know their names, Kelly?
Yeah. This is always a fun game.
Chad Pennington.
Okay.
Then in the third round, the San Francisco 49ers drafted something called Giovanni Carmazzi.
Sure, yeah.
Giovanni Carmazzi did not have an impact.
I don't remember his career much.
The others were Chris Redman, T. Okay. Martin,
yeah,
who had won a college national championship, Mark Bulger, who had some success, mm-hmm, in the NFL, and Spurgeon Winn.
Sure.
All drafted before Tom Brady in the 2000 draft. So the first thing we have to say about Tom Brady is he forever solidified the notion and the truism, really, that the NFL draft is the most inexact science on God's green earth. No one knows a thing. So Tom Brady, the 199th pick in that draft. Now, he played his entire rookie season in the NFL. He was on the bench. Drew Bledsoe was the quarterback of the New England Patriots, drafted by the Patriots, of course. And the Patriots finished fourth in the AFC East. The next year in game number two, Drew Brees was hurt in a game against the New York Jets, and Tom Brady, this sixth-round draft pick, who had just played very sparingly to that point in his NFL career, sparsely, in fact, becomes the Patriots starting quarterback. They lose that game. They're 0-2. And then in the next 14 games, this kid out of Michigan, this 199th pick in the draft, goes 11-3 quarterbacking the New England Patriots. They end up in the playoffs. They end up in the Tuck Rule game against the Oakland Raiders, which, again, began the sort of chain of events that led to this remarkable career. They beat Pittsburgh in the AFC Championship, and then as 14-point underdogs, they beat the vaunted Los Angeles Rams. Were they St. Louis at the time? Yes, they were St. Louis Rams, the greatest show on turf. As 14-point dogs, Adam Vinatieri kicking the field goal. And the rest, as they say, is history. He wasn't a very quotable guy through the years either. But there's one quote that he had that, for some reason, it's interesting how some people say things and it lands on you in a certain way and you never forget it. And I remember Tom Brady after either the Patriots' first Super Bowl title with him or the second one. Don't hold me to which one it was, because it was either after the first or second. But it was a local reporter in New England, and they just started talking to him. And Tom Brady sort of unsolicited said, you know, I know Tiger Woods wins all these majors, and it must be this wonderful thing for him. But it can't be as special and as meaningful as winning with all these guys. And while that sounds like a corny line, Tom Brady not only talked the talk, he walked the walk. Because what he did then, contract-wise, was he took less money. Sure, it was a rich man anyway. But he realized, we here on a numbers game, we say all the time, you can only win a Super Bowl with a quarterback on a rookie contract or a Hall of Famer. Well, Tom Brady did both, by the way. And he recognized that the first part of that was, because the rookie quarterback part of that is you get to pay everybody else around you. You have the money to spend. And Brady realized that not only intuitively, but he realized that in practice. And he did that through the years and probably allowed, there's no way to really quantify it, probably allowed the Patriots to win as many Super Bowls as they did, the seven with him.
But he was a guy known for that, right? I mean, you're saying.
That's
not
the impact.
There's not a lot of guys that we sit around talking about like that today.
I think also the beauty of him retiring now is that, yes, while there was a bit of a decline here in his final season, I think, sure, we can say that. But in the end, we'll ever see Tom Brady truly suck at football the way that we did some of the other greats.
Yes.
Peyton Manning with a big decline. Because Tom Brady, for the rest of his days, can say, hey, We made the playoffs in my last year. I get it. They were 8-9. They only beat the rest of the division by one game. But he can say that. He's allowed to. And he still has those two unbelievable comebacks against both the Rams and the Saints where he could say, in his final year at the age of 45, he authored two ridiculous late-game comebacks.
It's a great point because it was, yes, was it a great year? And by Tom Brady's standards, was it a great year? No. And do I think, does he know he's on the decline now? Maybe. And that's maybe why he decided to pull the trigger on this retirement. I'm with you, Gil. It's a good point. It is as rough of a season as it was for the Bucs, it could have been a lot worse. You know, if he comes back another year or tries to stretch this out any longer. And nobody wants to see that. Nobody likes to see these guys, they're the greatest of all time, come back and look terrible playing the game that they played so well for so many years.
And so while he didn't go out on top, you know, that's not a bad way to go out. Playoffs, couple great comebacks. And I've said many times on a numbers game, you know, this past year also, 45 years old. Remember, that was his goal. He said, I want to play till I'm 45. And he ended up doing that despite the Fugazi retirement from last year. And remember, like, just think about that difference also in the generations. You know, George Blanda, when he played at that age, had lamb chop gray sideburns and was smoking on the sidelines. And here's this bastion of health that allowed his career to go to the age of 45. So, look, it's hard to quantify or sum up somebody's career in one segment of radio, but Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, retiring at the age of 45. We're all privileged to have gotten to witness it. Whether you were a Brady fan or not, you have to appreciate what this man brought to the sport of football and to the enjoyment in all of our lives. Undisputed. How much can you say that about other people in other sports as well? We'll come back. Will Hill on the other side. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. It must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Jeff Holdorf, shout out to him at Holding Court. You see this story, Kelly, about NFL head ref of the AFC Championship game, Ronald Torbert?
No, I did not.
NFL investigating member of his family placing a wager on the game that morning.
Boy.
Quote, I had no knowledge that my son placed a large wager on the Chiefs until after the game. He said that on a 101.4 The Juice, wherever that is. The Juice, I love that.
Hey, good grab by them.
Bro, I like that. The Juice.
Good grab by them. That's a little scary.
I have to pursue that one. Sean underscore Gap. Anyone you like in the French Open? Yeah, I like Iga on the women's side. Period. Anything in plus money, even minus 110, I'd bet her. She's just that dominant on clay. Men's side, it's really a three-headed monster, Djokovic, Nadal, and Alcaraz. And that's just, that's the unsexiness of the French Open. After that, it opens up Wimbledon and U.S. Open. This is from Pat at TS Best Takes. Did Kelly give out golf picks for the week? I may have missed that. No, later on the show, he will.
Yep, not yet.
Pebble Beach. Bruce Dobigan. It's interesting that when someone is so unquestionably the best, you don't have to say much more. There are no debates or equivocations. Makes for a short story on Tom Brady. Yes, absolutely.
I wish.
Mike Rouse. Is Giovanni Carmazzi related to Mike Guaita? We'll have to look into the lineage there. Get a MyHeritage DNA on that, would you? Mark Geiger, in-house attorney for the numbers game. The retirement is genuine. I don't believe the cynics who claim that this is just an attention-getting ploy to goose the interest in that movie that opens this week. No, it's definitely not.
Oh, man.
That's hilarious.
During ESPN's coverage of that this morning, it was literally like somber Mike Greenberg talking about like going to break, talking about the retirement of Tom Brady, and boom, cue it up. 80 for Brady, baby.
All of this is one big promotional ploy for 80 for Brady. Phil Weiss, good blank in riddance. Full disclosure, big Jets fan, LOL. Ryan Thompson. Okay, Ryan Thompson's the first to have an argument with
this.
He goes, Brady is without a doubt the most accomplished quarterback of all time. He's not the best. Name one thing he's ever done better than Rodgers or Mahomes. Great quarterback, but always very fortunate situations. Hall of Fame coach, top five, Tuck rule, bad divisions. I can name one thing, Ryan. Win.
Rings.
Ladies and gentlemen, Will Hill joins us. VSiN contributor, and of course, he'll have something to plug here at the end. Will can be found at Not The Will Hill, that's with two E's on the V, on Twitter. How you doing, Will? Good morning.
Gil, I'm okay. Big Giovanni Carmazzi fan, so I was a little disappointed by you taking shots this morning, but I'll get over it. It'll be okay. Yeah.
I apologize for that. Giovanni Carmazzi, who went to Hofstra, as it turns out.
And they played against each other, I think, in the Hall of Fame game. And I think I remember seeing, I forget what documentary it was, but they played against each other in the Hall of Fame game, the rookie years, Brady versus Carmazzi, Giovanni. And the 49ers quarterback, Giovanni Carmazzi, didn't play well. Brady played great. And I think both teams sort of knew, all right, maybe we got something here and maybe we made the wrong pick. So I was actually watching the game when Bledsoe got hurt.
Yeah,
against the Jets, and believe it or not, as we'll spend 2 weeks here talking about the Kelce brothers and Andy Reid versus Philly, Brady's first Super Bowl, they spent 2 weeks talking about who should start, Brady or Bledsoe.
Yes.
That was an actual real discussion.
Yes, it was, and that's also, I'm glad you brought that up, Will, because again, that's where I'm trying to give perspective from early on, like how unbelievable, like Bledsoe was considered to be one of the top tier quarterbacks in the NFL. I won't go too crazy on that, but a top 10 quarterback for sure. And it was, you know, this kid coming in. Okay, great. Yeah, he had the 11-3 record, but come on, now it's for the real stakes of the Super Bowl. Do we really want him handling this? You know, it's just hilarious to think about in retrospect.
And there were people say, well, you can't lose your job due to an injury. Bledsoe should start. That's how antiquated some of the thinking was. You remember Brady, obviously, the Tuck rule game against the Raiders in the snow, which they easily could have lost. Vinatieri, just an incredible kick, not just to win it, but the one to tie it was just amazing.
Yep.
And then he got hurt in the AFC Championship game against Pittsburgh. Bledsoe came in, played well. That's what led to the controversy of, all right, who should we go with here? Which is just sort of amazing.
You know who knew? Bill Belichick knew. He knew.
He did, and I don't think he committed. Did he commit at the – I remember a press conference
where
he said,
never
we'll
commits
pull everybody.
To anything. Yeah.
Right, exactly. He's like, we'll pull the teachers, the bus drivers, we'll pull everybody, and we'll see what they think. But, I think it was probably Brady all along.
It's just amazing. And, again, I'll say it again from what I said last time, but it solidifies the notion that anybody who thinks they know what they're doing in a draft, even the NFL scouts, NFL people who have been in the league for decades, none of them know a damn thing. When it comes to talent evaluation, it's such an inexact science. Not saying it with derisiveness, it just is. There's too many nuanced parts to it in football.
I mean, look at this past weekend, Purdy, you know, him getting hurt, that impact. Pacheco for the Chiefs was just an incredible, you know, a really good runner, a useful player. I mean, he's seventh round pick, so absolutely. It's just, it's anybody's guess, really.
What are your initial thoughts on Super Bowl 57? How are you playing it?
Boy, it's so interesting. It's hard to make Mahomes a dog. I just think it is. I know you have to wait and see, you know, what receivers are healthy. You figure Mahomes, after a couple weeks here, will be closer to 100%. I just think it's hard to make Mahomes a dog. I like the Chiefs. You know, toss-up game to me. I'll take the point and a half, 2 points. I don't know if there's still twos out there, but plus money on Mahomes is good enough for me. Not to oversimplify it, but. I just don't know what we know about the Eagles. Obviously, that's a loaded roster. You don't apologize for victories, but, I mean, what have they proven? They beat a Giants team that completely overachieved, and then they beat a 49ers game where they're gifted 7 points early. Obviously, Shanahan deserves all the grief in the world for that non-challenge. And then they're, you know, they're putting McCaffrey at quarterback by halftime, basically. So I don't know what we've learned about Philly here. I like the Chiefs.
I see it that way as well. Any props stick out yet, or you still haven't really delved into those?
Not yet. I'll probably start in the next day or two, sort of getting into those. I know you moved some markets yesterday, so I was a little late to the draw there. But I think the props will be where it's at. It'll be fun. That pink Gatorade, the red Gatorade. If you like the Chiefs, the red Gatorade 7-1 is certainly intriguing there.
Oh, Kelly's going oppo. But yeah, Kelly, it was 7-1 on the blue yesterday. It's now the short shot. Is
now the short shot.
And the the America the Beautiful went from 90, where I recommended it going over, went to right after the show. By the end of the show, it went from 96 to 99 to 105. I'm like, okay, easy, everybody. Don't be betting the 99s and the 105s. Yeah.
I think you just like the under. So you gave out the over knowing it would move.
That's what I
know
did.
How you do this with your sushi places. You do this with America the Beautiful. You're just going to come back with two fists this on the under. I know
all
it.
Of this is just one big manipulation of life for me. All right. What are you betting basketball-wise, either pro or college today?
I did take Penn State plus 10. I just don't think – I think Purdue's good. I don't think they're great. Penn State plays at a slow tempo, so I took Penn State plus 10. And I took Tennessee plus 6. I think it's 5.5. You might still be able to get a 6 out there. Tennessee's actually number one in KenPom right now, which just shows you how much parity there is because they're a good team. But, again, they're not a great team. They're good, very good defensively, but they struggle on offense. I never trust Rick Barnes in a big spot. So going to Florida is never easy. So I did take Florida here plus the points, and those are the two I did play in college. And I have some baseball bets, too, if you
yes,
want to get to
that's
those.
What I wanted to get to. I was going to ask you next because we had Jason coming up. What have you made so far?
Now, I'm going to have to wait a while to cash these, but I like betting against bad teams in good divisions. The Washington Nationals under 61.5 at DraftKings. Look, you're going to have to play. That's a brutal division.
Yes.
They've actually tweaked the format now. You don't play your division opponents 19 times. You only play them, I think, 13 times. So that hurts a little bit, but that's still 52 games against the Mets, the Braves, the Phillies, who just went to the World Series and added Trey Turner. And the Marlins have really good pitching. So to me, Washington is just a dreadful team. I think Patrick Corbin's listed as their number two starter. Granted, I think Josiah Gray's got good stuff. He'll be a good pitcher down the road. Sounds like they got a decent return in the Soto package, but that's going to take a long time, to come to fruition. I think Washington's just going to get destroyed this year. That's a 50-something win team. So I like the under 61.5. Of course, shop around because you could find one or two win disparities. And same line of thinking, Boston under 78.5. It's weird to think they're a last place team, but with Baltimore getting better, the Yankees are still good and have really good pitching. Toronto is obviously loaded. Tampa's always good. So I think Boston with that pitching, relying on Chris Sale and Paxton and Corey Kluber, that's a lot to ask. Bello, I think, will be a good pitcher, but I don't think he's ready. So I think Boston's in for a long year as well.
All right, give me 30 seconds on this. Because of the Brady news this morning, the Brady retirement, D'Amico Ryans hired as the new head coach of the Texans. The Houston Texans sort of, got overshadowed this morning, as did, of course, the bigger one, Sean Payton, the new head coach of the Denver Broncos, after the Broncos compensated the Saints with a first-rounder this year, which is a late first-round pick, and a second-rounder next year. How do you feel about both of those?
I feel like the Broncos are just like a bettor who's down. They just keep chasing their bet with Wilson. They're trying to dig out and get something out of it, which I understand. But, boy, I feel like Peyton's just going to have 2 or 3 years there where he wins 6 or 7 games and they move on probably.
Yeah, I mean, again, great coach, solid coach.
Good coach, yeah.
But one Super Bowl, we'll see what he can do with Russell Wilson. Will, thank you as always. Appreciate it, man.
Appreciate it, Gil. Goldboys.com, twitch.tv/GoldboysNetwork. Got to get it in.
There it is. Will Hill, everybody, right here on A Numbers Game at VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network. Jason Weingart from Under a Cloud of Smoke, all the baseball bets he's made and his thoughts on the Super Bowl coming up.
A Numbers Game on VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you're looking for a betting edge on football's big game, the VEASAN experts have got you covered. Become a VEASAN Pro subscriber with an introductory offer of only $9.99. VEASAN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VEASAN show hosts and guests, tools like our betting splits, deep dive betting reports, VEASAN betting guides for the biggest games of the season where our experts break down brackets, best bets, and all the big game props. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Visit VEASAN.com/subscribe today to sign up for only $9.99. That's VEASAN.com/subscribe. We get tweets at Beating the Book, New York Mets 16. Gil, don't forget, at the age of 45, that Tom Brady was third in yardage, only 45 yards shy of second place in this young man's game to go along with winning the division, making playoffs, and two spectacular late fourth quarter comebacks. We mentioned all of that except for the where he placed in the yardage. It's truly unbelievable what he was able to do that late. Dog days at Dog Day Wins. On the fly, Gil Alexander puts together a look back of Tom Brady's career as if it was a major network's montage of a president passing that had been on the shelf for years. Well, thank you. Alan Mitchell, Giovanni, love him in Billions. I guess that's a reference to the show Billions. I don't know that. Corey Henderson, 775. Please fact check this. I believe that Wayne Corbett played on that Hofstra team with Giovanni. Check that out.
What?
They also,
yes, I will be looking at that.
They also lost the Montana Grizzlies in Missoula. All right. A little Giovanni Carmine. Oh, Rick Olio says that, you know how there's an 80 for Brady? He says there should be a 60 for Carmazzi. Got a lot of traction this morning on that. This is from VGK Brad. I was lucky enough to get over 90 seconds on America the Beautiful yesterday, thanks to you. It is now at 109. That's a lot of room for a middle. 19 seconds. Want to know your thoughts on trying to middle it of the show. Hey, listen, I'm
that is a lot of time.
Yeah, that will totally be a middle, I'm guessing, but I wouldn't. I'm just do the over. I mean, for those who got the over 90, mazel tov to you. But yeah, it probably won't go 109. Let's say, oh, Joe C714 is at the South Point. He wants to say hi to us. All right, we'll do that at some point here. We'll get out. Let's see. Kevin B., random question. You get to interview any living athlete, current or retired, for 40 minutes, and they have to answer every question 100% truthful. Who are you picking to interview? We'll have to think about that.
Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods?
Probably.
Has to answer everything
He has to answer everything truthfully?
That's a lot of choices. A lot of choices. Mike Tyson, Michael Jordan. Ladies and gentlemen, he comes to us from under a cloud of smoke in Southern California. You can follow him on Twitter at Spreadopedia. It's our buddy Jason Weingarten. How you doing, Jason?
Good morning. How's it going?
Oh, wow. Well, a little echo chamber for Jason this morning. Good. What are we wearing today, Jason? Let's start there.
My normal North Face, whenever it's cold out.
Okay.
Sweater.
All right. Do we want to work on that audio, Kelly, or is that okay? What do you think here? We'll go with it? We'll go with it. All right. Jason, let me ask you a question. So this is, we'll get your thoughts on the Super Bowl here coming up, but we have a couple segments here to work with you because I know you have already started betting some baseball. So let's just start with the more macro, the futures markets. We'll talk teams before we get into MVP and Cy and all those things. Have you made any bets in futures markets for teams winning the World Series?
Yeah, the only team future I bet was the first one. I bet it actually pretty early. I bet the Astros 7-1. So you can call me Mattress Jason this season.
Mattress Jason, 7-1 on the Astros?
Yeah, I just think, you know, when you if you're only focusing on the fact that they lost Justin Verlander, you might think that they're not as good year over year. But when you kind of look at everything as a whole, it wouldn't surprise me to see them kind of run through the AL again. And, you know, you could argue the Dodgers are the best team or the best organization, but the Astros have shown us that they're the best organization in baseball. And I don't particularly like them, but I can at least acknowledge their greatness.
All right, so we're showing 6-1 at DraftKings, but always shop around with these. Plenty of time for you to spend the time shopping around. Baseball is not imminent here as we're doing this, obviously, the very first day of February. Okay, let's go to MVP. What have you bet in the MVP markets?
Not much. I mean, year over year, the markets kind of dictate where the value is, and sometimes there's value with, you know, long shots, and sometimes there's value near the top of the board. And I think after the last couple of years with Ohtani and everything in the American League, there's just not a particularly large amount of value anywhere, especially in the AL. You know, I'm hard pressed to find a bet at a compelling number when you have Shohei Ohtani between 2 and 3 to 1. Jeez. At most books. You know, where do you see the value? I don't see value anywhere on this market.
Yeah, I don't either. Not AL or NL for you? Neither?
NL, I'm interested in Ronald Acuna. I thought it was really interesting. Most of the books opened Acuna between 11 and 12 to 1, and the Westgate opened him as the favorite at 5 to 1. So, you know, it's nice. One of the things I like about the Westgate Superbook is they have their own opinions on these numbers and make their own numbers, as opposed to a lot of places that just copy, you know, the last set of numbers to go up. So, you know, if you take a look at Westgate's numbers versus the rest of the market, you can find some interesting discrepancies and you can make sort of determinations from there.
I'm curious, and we'll get to some of the other awards here momentarily, but Will Hill just touched on it. Adam Burke touched upon it when he was with us a couple weeks ago. And I'm not sure, you know, the casual sports fan who's like sort of tangentially into baseball knows, but as he pointed out, as both of those guys pointed out, the new balance schedule includes 13 games against division rivals now. It used to be 19. 19 was a lot. Now it's 13 games against each division rival, so 52 games overall against division opponents. Then each team will play 6 games against 6 opponents, and 7 games against 4 opponents in the same league for a total of 64 games, and then each team will play 46 interleague games. Does any of that change anything for you, betting-wise?
It changes some of my potential thoughts on win totals and stuff, because now you're not going to just get to beat up on bad teams. Especially, I'm really interested to see how this kind of plays out with the NL Central, because I think the last couple of years, you know, teams like the Cardinals have kind of got an easy path to the playoffs, just beating up on the bad teams in their division, like Pirates and the Cubs. And then they kind of get exposed in the playoffs. And it turns out they're not as good as they are because they've just been beating up on bad teams all season. So I'm a little interested to see if that sort of carries over this year. And we kind of see some different numbers in the win totals based on that. But, you know, other than that, I'm happy that there's going to be slightly more competitive balance in baseball. It's, it's a long season and it kind of can drag when you have your, 18th Cardinals Pirates game. Yeah. Totally meaningless by August.
By the way, you've not made any season win totals. I know they're not rampantly out there, but there are some folks who have season win totals already. You have not made those bets?
They just started coming up. And the thing is for me, like, You mentioned it. It's February 1st, so we're still really, really early. I just happened to start betting the futures because the books are putting them out earlier and earlier. And, I saw some good numbers. But for me, win totals, I'm not ready to do win totals at least for another 2 weeks or so.
Yeah. And that's a good place to sort of give people perspective also. Like, and you'll tell me where I'm wrong here, Jason, but 5 years ago, right, there was a shop in Reno, the Atlantis. They were always the first book to put out baseball season win totals, and that was mid-February. That was like past Valentine's Day, and even that was like considered, wow, they jumped the gun on everybody else. Their numbers are not going to be anything like the numbers that all the other books are going to put out, say February 28th or March 1st. And now literally it has bled for more forward to you literally have folks putting them out before the end of the year. I think somebody put out season win totals now. Was it DraftKings? I'm not sure who did, but one shop.
Will Hill had all their markets up Christmas.
By Christmas, right. And I guess, so what you're saying is in some cases it makes you make a bet, but in others you're still not ready to even at that point of the calendar.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part when I'm doing radio stuff where I'm talking about baseball right now, a lot of the time, like if I'm saying the NL East, I'll call it the NFC East.
Yeah.
Because in my mind, I'm still kind of in football mode. And it takes a couple weeks to kind of, switch over from one sport to the other. And I can't juggle as many sports in my head as I used to be able to at this age. So I just kind of take a break from baseball around the beginning of the year, but with the markets coming earlier and earlier, you got to take advantage when there's value.
Yeah, Jason said at this age. Jason is what? You're 30s? Is that? It's only downhill from here, Jason.
35, I think.
Yeah, it's only downhill. All right, we'll do. Do you have anything Cy Young? Let's start AL Cy Young. We got 30 seconds here before the break. Anything AL Cy?
I bet Luis Garcia 200-1. I thought he got the best price in the Astros rotation. Everyone's going to focus on Framber and Christian Javier, but yeah. Luis Garcia is just as good at a bigger price.
Luis Garcia, 200-1 AL Cy. Anything else AL Cy, or is that the only one?
That's it.
Okay, we'll come back. We'll do NL Cy. We'll do Rookies of the Year. And then Super Bowl 57, what Jason's thoughts are on the game. And if he's bet any props or is looking to bet any props, we'll do all that on the other side. Still to come, Jeff Schwartz as well. His thoughts from the perspective of an offensive lineman. And Rihanna props. Kelly on golf. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Basketball fans can turn a loss into a win with the king of sportsbooks. Just place a single first basket score prop bet on any NBA game, and if your bet loses, you'll receive up to $25 back in bonus bets. Wager confidently and take your game to the next level with BetMGM, an authorized gaming partner of the NBA. Just log into your account or download the BetMGM app and sign up today. Then wager on any player to score the first basket in any NBA game. And if your bet misses, you'll get up to $25 back in bonus bets. Turn game time into showtime. with BetMGM. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, hanging out. I remember that question from before the break from Kevin B. Who would you like to interview, living or retired? Not or active or retired, I should say. For 40 minutes, they have to be 100% truthful. Well, Broom Broom Room says the obvious answer is O.J. Simpson. That would be a pretty obvious answer.
Okay.
let's see here. Rich PSM, Brady's greatness. I actually stopped thinking he declined at 45. He had a good year and was waiting for him to go elsewhere. Then he says something about the America the Beautiful prop, which I don't understand. A third coop. Jason, it sounds like he buried himself in a clothes hamper to do this interview with using a dot matrix printer. We'll see if we worked on that. Oh, and then that story about the referee's son is fake news. So thanks to everybody who tweeted in and mentioned that as well. We apologize for the Ron Burgundying of that tweet. Jason Weingarten rejoins us from under a cloud of smoke in Southern Cali. We appreciate it, Jason. How you doing, man? You're back to, how's the audio? Ain't it better?
Got it fixed.
Oh, beautiful. There's a conversation.
Using the wrong, wrong input or something.
That's okay. Let's pick up because we want to get to football. NL Cy Young, anything there?
I bet Sandy Alcantara. Unfortunately, I took 5-1, and then Westgate opened at 8-1. Probably could have taken the 8-1 as well. But that's still out there if someone wants a better number than me.
No, go ahead.
I think it's interesting this year. You know, you flip DeGrom to the AL and Verlander joins the NL. So, you know, we're probably going to see, like, we're guaranteed to see a new winner in the AL this year. But the matchup between all the NL East pitchers to me is pretty interesting because you got Nola and Freed and, you know, all these other sort of top tier pitchers all in the same division. It's almost like outside of Corbin Burns, there's nobody else who's a serious contender that we don't already, you know, have a lot of, you know, tape on, basically.
Yeah. What about DeGrom? How do you think he fares as a Texas Ranger?
Same thing every year. You know, DeGrom 6-1, 7-1 is a slam dunk bet if he stays healthy.
If he stays healthy, yeah.
In previous years, you know, my Cy Young portfolio would just be a large bet on DeGrom. So far, I haven't convinced myself to do that yet. Maybe I'll wait another couple weeks, see what the projections look like, because it's always going to be DeGrom if he's healthy, but no guarantee he stays healthy at his age.
When you said Sandy in the NL, and my knee jerk was to immediately look for Koufax. I was like, what? He's playing again. All right, this is where you've made your hay. Rookie of the year, AL and NL, because a lot of people don't know the names you know. What do you got for both of these?
For the AL, you know, I thought and the sort of the genesis for me getting ahead of getting an early start on betting futures was I saw Gunnar Henderson was 5-1 at Bookmaker. They opened him and they were opening it with to win $5,000 limits, which is, you know,
wow.
Normally their limits on these futures are a lot smaller. They're to win like $1,000.
Usually 1,000 at Bookmaker. Yeah. Before you
yeah,
have to
occasionally 3,000, but was a lot. And, you know, it happened to be the evening. So I had an idea that whoever was, you know, sitting in front of the trading desk was probably not paying much attention to this on January, whatever it was, a week ago. And I was able to get like 5 or 6 clicks at, you know, max bet for Gunnar Henderson, which is a lot for, you know, this time of year at a number that's better than the rest of the market. So I'm pretty big on Gunnar Henderson to start the year. I got it from about 5-1, from 491 down to about 3.5. I see bookmakers down to plus 275 now. So I'm guessing he's their biggest liability to start the year.
Would you bet it at plus 275, Gunnar Henderson of the Baltimore Orioles?
I would
not.
I would bet it at 4-1. There's still some fours out there.
Okay.
Where it's bettable. But I just think, you know, starting the year, starting shortstop, he's a very good hitter on a good team. It's his award to lose, essentially, especially, you know, after we saw Spencer Strider last year not even come close to winning the Rookie of the Year with 200 strikeouts. I think you could throw out every pitcher this year unless you're getting at least 100-1 on them. Like
for rookie of the
I'm
year,
I'm not
going to
bet a pitcher this year because we just saw like
for rookie
doesn't
of the
matter
year.
If you get 200 strikeouts.
Okay. Yeah. Cut to the MLB Network where Gunnar Henderson's mom is giving out the Rookie of the Year award. I hope that is the case for those who end up with these bets. Anything else, AL, or strictly Gunnar Henderson of the Orioles?
I bet Oscar Colas at 40-1. He could potentially be the opening day starting right fielder for the White Sox. He's a power hitting Cuban. Strikeouts will always be a problem with him, but you know, I'm looking for guys who have opportunity as opposed to looking for the biggest names and the most potential.
Okay, NL.
NL, a little interesting. You know, last year nobody really ran away with it, and then Michael Harris got called up and won at, you know, big number. This year, a little top heavy. You got Corbin Carroll, starting outfielder for the D-backs. Miguel Vargas going to start the season at second base for the Dodgers. And Jordan Walker, who's a, you know, hybrid corner, outfielder, DH for the Cardinals. He's my guy at a big number. I think he's kind of the next sort of superstar kind of player. Not that Corbin Carroll and Miguel Vargas aren't great, and Corbin Carroll is a five-tool outfielder, but Jordan Walker is the guy we're going to be talking about in 3 months or 4 months and saying, wow, how much are his baseball cards going for? They're already going for several thousand dollars. It's a little late.
All right.
But he's my guy. I got him at 14-1 at the Westgate to start. I think you can get some 10s still. I think anything over 10 on him is a gift. I'd have that number. You know, I'd half that number probably if he gets a job out of spring training for the Cardinals, with the Cardinals.
All right, so Jordan Walker for NL Rookie of the Year. And again, all of these, Kelly, will be on the picks page at vsin.com/picks.
Yep.
All right, we'll cull them together. And by the way, all the picks that we make on this show, all the picks that are made on the network at vsin.com/picks pays to be a subscriber, that's for sure. Anything else, Jason, or have we covered baseball well?
That's about all I bet so far. It's still so early.
It's so early, man.
I've realized or I've noticed year over year, we've talked about this before, but my early bets tend to have a lot bigger return than my in-season bets. So I'm trying to, you know, take the best numbers now and adjust later.
And then be disciplined the rest of the year when you're aching to bet more, I know.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. We know that. But hopefully
I was going to say, easier said than done for you. All right, Super Bowl 57, what are your thoughts? Kansas City, Philadelphia.
You know, it's rare that the two best teams end up playing each other, but I think, you know, this is probably the two best teams this year ending up in the Super Bowl. Little surprised to see Patrick Mahomes as a dog, but if you're gonna bet the Chiefs, you know, plus 105, why wouldn't you just bet Patrick Mahomes to win the MVP? I can't think of very many scenarios where the Chiefs win and Mahomes doesn't win another Super Bowl MVP. So if I'm betting the Chiefs, I'm probably betting Patrick Mahomes MVP at a bigger number than the money line. Beyond that, I was telling Greg earlier this week, like, everyone wants to talk about the Super Bowl and how great it is, and for me, it's just another game. It's exciting, but I don't know. I think I'm slightly indifferent to both of these teams.
All right. You think you'll have any prop bets, or stay tuned?
Oh, yeah,
on
I'll have.
You'll have some by
I'll
next
have
week.
A pile of prop bets. What am I going to do, watch the Super Bowl without any money on it? What's...
Jason's like, I don't really care about this game. It's just another game. You going to have any prop bets? Oh, I'm going to have a pile of them by next
week. I bet neither team to score three times in a row plus 185 so far.
Oh, that's the one that gets people all the time.
I love that bet.
Yeah, well, it's properly priced, Jason Weingarten. It's properly priced.
It probably is. Probably pretty spot on.
All right. Oh, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week, and we'll have that pile of prop bets ready to go. Appreciate all the baseball insight, man.
Thank you. Yeah, it should still be a fun Super Bowl. It's always fun.
Yeah, no Rams. I know you're disappointed in that. Jason Weingarten, everybody, at Spreadopedia on the Twitter machine, where you can find him from under a cloud of smoke. We'll come back. Rihanna, halftime props. Got a couple things to say about those. First song, last song. How about that? Kelly on golf. Pebble Beach this week. He's got bets. We'll do that as well. And Jeff Schwartz will join us, former offensive lineman, give his perspective on the Super Bowl and what really has him peeved about people's reactions to the officiating this past conference championship weekend. It's the Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.